Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
We're putting on our best Sunday best and playing you some of our favourite pieces from the past year. And so this piece was a really interesting one. Dr. Colin McKeever is assistant lecturer in analytical chemistry at the Department of Pharmaceutical Sciences at TUS. And he was working out, is it possible to recover something like a fingerprint from something as hot and as explosive as the shell casing of a bullet? It, of course, would help in identifying perpetrators of very serious crimes, but also it's a very cool theoretical project too. Have a listen to this.
For decades, forensic experts have struggled to recover fingerprints from bullet casings because of the intense heat of gunfire. But that might be about to change. Joining me now is Dr. Colin McKeever, who's assistant lecturer and researcher in analytical chemistry at the Department of Pharmaceutical Sciences and Biotechnology at TUS. Welcome to the program, Colin.
Cheers. Thanks so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about this research. Were you specifically looking at bullet casings to start off with, or were you just interested in chemical and thermal reactions?
So the initial idea was to focus on visualizing fingerprints. So with that, the background of it would be to look towards those bullet casings. Now, we did manage to eventually put towards our bullet casings, but we had to start understanding how the chemistry might interact with the material that bullet casings are made of. So we started out with visualizing fingerprints on just simple brass, because that's the most common type of material that bullet casings are made of. And a lot of interesting things popped up with the chemistry of brass and how we applied our material to the surface in the hopes of visualizing our fingerprints that were applied.
So talk to me about what a fingerprint is exactly.
Yeah, so a fingerprint is those ridges that are on the tips of your fingers, obviously. But fingerprints form at birth, and that's kind of the reason why we have this unique identifier. Some people might claim that your fingerprints are a random kind of movement in the womb as the fingers are being grown by the fetus. But fingerprints themselves are the physical characteristics at the tip of your finger. Now, what we were looking at is what we might call finger marks. So that's once the fingerprint has touched a surface, residues are left behind. So those residues are about 98% water, like your sweat or any kind of minerals that might be coming out. But some of it is kind of that kind of oily sebaceous glands, and that's usually what is left behind. So the fingerprints that we're focusing on, or the finger marks that we're focusing on, are latent prints. And anyone can generate a latent print themselves quite easily. Just rub your finger along your nose and touch your smartphone, and there's a fingerprint left over. So those were the kind of latent prints that we were focusing on.
So all my life, I've been calling finger marks fingerprints.
Yeah, it was something that I had to get used to
right.
as well. The fingerprint is on the finger and a finger mark is left behind.
Right, okay. So we often see this in, you know, in CSI, or if you get, as we were broken into, they come with the duster and so on. And what they're doing is they're trying to visualize, as you say, this oily substance that we excrete, you know, sweat or whatever, that forms along the ridges of your fingerprint. And if you manage to capture that, it gives people a very clear idea. So when it comes to a bullet, though, we're talking about something that undergoes an enormous physical stress. Talk to me about what happens inside a gun and how that affects the temperature and the heat and the shape of a brass casing.
Yeah, so the general makeup of a bullet or ammunition itself is you have the bullet at the top, which is what is fired, and then inside the casing is a mixture of propellants. So simplify it down, it's explosive material.
It's like there's a pointy bit, kind of like a Pope's hat at the top, and then not a Pope's hat, a bishop's hat. I don't know. Anyway, a pointy hat on it, and then. A cardinal, maybe, yeah. Thanks, Maurice. And then there's a little cap thing that fires it, right? Is there anything else in apart from those two things?
Yeah, so in the actual casing itself, it's a hollow tube that's filled with what we call propellant. So that's explosive material. So once the hammer of the gun hits the cap of the bullet, you get this little spark and all of the explosive material in there explodes, firing the bullet forward. Now, when it comes to temperatures and pressures, obviously the pressure has to be very high to fire this bullet quite far and quite fast. Temperature-wise, it's hard to determine exactly what temperatures are going to be present inside the barrel of the gun, but air estimations were about at least 700 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
And if it could be more with higher caliber ammunition then as well. So we're talking like the 50 caliber sniper rifles. They might be able to get up to maybe 1100 degrees.
Okay. So I would have imagined that if we're talking about oil or water or anything that isn't, you know, mineral in nature, that is going to be completely vaporized. Why did you think this might be possible? And how did you go about determining whether or not it was?
So while the water might be completely removed from the surface with this intense heat, what's actually might be left behind is the oily kind of secretions that are left. So they're generally made up of material that's capable of burning. So the idea would be that hopefully any of this sweat, like this oily secretion that's left behind, would burn onto the surface. And air hopes was that in a traditional print where you'd hope this oily secretion is and you stick your material to that oily secretion, for air method, we were kind of hoping that this burnt material that's left behind will act almost as a stencil protecting the surface of the ammunition casing. So the method itself was to deposit material on the surface, and it's a highly contrast colored material. So what we were doing was any part of the surface that didn't change color came in contact, and we call that a negative print. So the fingerprint or finger mark itself, yeah, I'm doing it now, but the finger mark itself is actually protecting the surface from air deposition of material. And it's this change in color that we were hoping to see to visualize that finger mark.
Cool. So what, you put it in an oven or something, or were you able to recreate the pressure and heat of a barrel?
Yeah. So we managed to, just with the kind of preliminary studies, we managed to get a sheet of brass and we applied this finger mark to the surface and placed it inside a furnace. So the furnace was heated up then to 700 degrees and we left it in there for about 20 seconds, which is far longer than the heat would be in the barrel for. So in the barrel, it would jump up really high and cool down quite quickly. So we went kind of quite more drastic in terms of the actual temperature degradation. And under those controlled studies, we could still get good visualization of the finger mark. We unfortunately weren't able to fire a bullet and test it, but under that kind of controlled experimental conditions, the method still held up.
That's amazing. So the next test, I suppose, is using live ammunition. Have you not got to that stage yet?
No. So obviously, Ireland doesn't have a huge gun culture, so acquiring such...
Let's keep it that way, shall we?
100%, 100%. But getting this type of evidence, or at least samples of this evidence, is quite hard. So we're trying, but we'll have to go through law professions in order to get kind of working on the next phase of the project. I think the idea around it is that, so Forensic Science Ireland, I won't comment too much on it, but they have a department called the Technical Bureau, and these are the scientist guards. These people would be in control of generating the actual evidence itself for
right.
us.
Okay.
So under complete strict conditions in the firing range, and then hopefully the evidence would be sent on to me for that control testing.
Okay, so you have a request in to get someone to, you know, hold a brass bullet, load it, fire it, and then keep that in an evidence bag. Is that ideally what you're looking for?
Well, like that would be the kind of next steps towards it. I wouldn't want to put myself too far ahead, you know.
Yeah.
Before Atten's confirmed, but we'd that would be the next goal of getting law enforcement involved to use to aim towards use case samples, we'll say.
Okay. And so what you're essentially looking of for is sort of the sebum that's been burnt and leaves that residue on the brass.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. In terms of the United States and, you know, obviously the federal agencies over there, has this work not been done before?
So it's been done to minor extent. In a lot of cases, people just thought it was a lost cause. Because of the current methods of visualization, you're hoping for that sticky residue to remain on the surface. With new developments in terms of like my space of chemistry, where we kind of focus on electrochemistry, we have this chance of essentially turning the bullet into an electrode. So chemical reactions can happen directly on the surface in a very controlled manner, as opposed to reactions happening around the print and hopefully something sticking to it. We can do it on the minute surface chemistry scale. So it's more so that the technology has developed to a point where we can actually start looking at this.
Amazing.
But it is something that people really want to look for.
And the finger marks that you got with your experiments, were they? Would you be able to identify the perp with them? See, I'm doing the talk.
Firstly, they're all mine. So oh, yes, right, okay. I definitely wouldn't be.
It's a very short whodunit.
yeah. But in terms of the actual quality of the finger mark itself, yeah, so we managed to get some of the highest possible detail of visualization of that finger mark. In some cases, we got such high definition, we were able to see the sweat pores on the finger mark ridges, like of the fingerprint ridges. So we could get really, really minute details at the surface. And with the end goal of any type of fingerprint visualization, you're hoping to get that nice picture at the end.
Yeah.
So we managed to get that really nice picture at the end.
I mean, obviously, one way around it was just to wear gloves when loading the gun. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I suppose that's what any new kind of forensic development of a method of any description. But when it comes around to firearm generated evidence in general, you have your three main pillars where you're looking for your tool mark evidence to match the bullet back to the gun itself. You're looking for your gunshot residue evidence to match at least someone who was close to the gun after it was fired. And then hopefully we'll involve everyone to the point where you might be able to say who loaded the gun. So really the idea is it's an extra quiver in the arrow of forensic professionals. Yeah, people can get around this. They've been doing it with finger marks themselves. You've seen it in multiple crime shows where people will wipe down the steering wheel after they leave.
I mean, I think it's very, very worthwhile to investigate. Do you go to like forensic conventions as part of your work now? Like, would you go to like conferences where people are showing off their like essentially spy gadgets to catch the bad guys?
Unfortunately, I haven't aimed in that direction.
I'm such an immature man. Like, honestly, I'm such a child. I'm like imagining you walking around and some person's like Q from 007. No, this is what we do here. Right, sorry. I've let my imagination run away with me and we're supposed to be talking about science. Really interesting work. Let's hope you get those bullets. Come back to us if you do. Thanks, Colin.
Well, thanks a million now.
Cheers. That's Colin McKeever. He's an assistant lecturer and researcher in analytical chemistry at TUS.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.